things. So Dory Nakaika, welcome.
Yeah, well, thank you guys. Thank you, Chris. It's wonderful to be here. It's always a blessing to be home and see familiar faces and obviously be with family. So, and happy Father's Day to all you wonderful dads out there. Yeah, so this morning we do just want to kind of give you guys a little update, what we've been up to and kind of some next steps for us. But for those of you that don't know, like Chris said, we've been in Mazatlan for the last 11 years. We live there with our two boys, Koa, who is 5, and Noah, who is 4. And we've been working with a ministry called Youth with a Mission, or it's better known as YWAM. And yeah, so there's definitely some really exciting next steps for us that we're stepping into here in the next few months. And we're going to start, I think, with a video to kind of give you, those of you that don't know, a little bit of kind of a summary of what we do and what we're involved with in Mazatlan. So if we can start the first one. That kind of gave like a brief overview of the things that we're involved with. I think some of the first shots were one of our big evangelistic outreaches that we do every year in February time. And so that we host over like 200, 300 people and just hit the streets sharing the gospel and partner with the local churches and other ministries. So it's a really awesome time. And then I think you saw some shots of us building homes, which is one of our main mercy ministries where we're building homes. So this past, I think, 5 months, we've built maybe 25 homes. So that's been really awesome. And yeah, and then some of the other shots were just some of our discipleship training programs that we run and other things that we're involved with in the city and internationally as well. I think some of those shots, you might have seen Jackie Boer, who's also a YWAMer. She was in some of those shots, and I'm sure you guys have heard from her recently. So that's just a little bit of a summary overview for those of you that don't know, the things that we're involved with in Mazatlan. But Akaika is going to share more of an update of kind of where we're at right now as a whole as a ministry and some of the next steps that we're going to be taking as a family. So I will pass the mic on to you.
Well, yeah. thanks for having us this morning. I know, sorry about the video. Every time we do something like this, things seem to go a little bit funny, but there's a few more videos, and I don't think they're all going to look like that. But, yeah, we wanted to share 3 words with you this morning that we use to kind of describe to people. Because YWAM is hard to kind of put into words sometimes. And because the guys that just went to West Virginia, you know, that's different to what they saw when they came down to Mazatlan. And then, you know, if you go somewhere else, it's a little different. But in Mazatlan, we use these 3 words to kind of put into words like what we do, what we focus on specifically. And those 3 words are engage, transform, and mobilize. And I'm just going to go through and talk a little bit about each one and some ministries that we have at YWAM Mazatlan that represent each one. And we will show a couple more videos throughout, so you won't have to sit here and listen to me talk the whole time. But when we at YWAM Mazatlan talk about engaging, we're talking about really engaging this generation of young people. And we primarily do that through our discipleship training school. And those of you who do know Jackie, she came down to Mazatlan 2 years ago or so, and she did a discipleship training school with us. It's a 5-month program. Where they spend 3 months in Mazatlan getting teaching, and then they go somewhere else. In Jackie's case, she went to the Philippines with us for 2 months. And it's the core course, I guess, or school training program of YWAM, but of YWAM Mazatlan as well. And the whole purpose is for the students to know God, and that's why we have classes for 3 months in Mazatlan and then make him known. And that's why we go on outreach. So it's a 2-part thing. It's 5 months, and it really is the core of YWAM. It's what kind of gets us all on the same page, understanding, you know, where we're going as a mission. And one of the core aspects or core outcomes, I guess, that you could say of the DTS is we want to see missionaries trained up. We want to see people, and when I say missionaries, we're not just talking about, you know, people like us that go from, you know, India to Mexico and live there forever, or go off to Africa and live in a hut, or whatever it is. You know, we're talking about mobilizing people into spheres of society, like business, government, you know, whatever it is. People come through our training schools. They kind of find out who they are, find out who God is, and then they'll take that anywhere. They'll take it, they'll bring it back home. They'll take it, you know, halfway across the world and do whatever. But, you know, wherever people end up, you know, our heart is that they'll take that little bit of that heart for missions, and they'll go wherever God's called them to go. So we're going to watch another video really quick, and it's a video narrated by the founder of YWAM, talking about missionaries. But, you know, as we show this video, when they're talking about mission, because they keep saying the word missionary, I just want you guys to have that in your mind, that we're not just talking about, you know, like missionaries like us. We're talking about missionaries like you and many others, okay?
In the beginning, God created man in his own image. He walked with man in the cool of Eden, but sin interrupted that union. So God created the missionary. God said, "I need someone willing to say no to the status quo, no to the dream of wealth, leave their families to fly to a distant land, and learn a language they have never heard, ride in cramped buses on backs of camels, someone who would sleep anywhere, eat anything, bear the heat, and fight the freeze with a smile on their face, just to take the gospel to a people not their own." So God created the missionary. God said, "Because the harvest is plentiful, I need someone ready to sow the seed, to plow the ground, water the seed, and reap the harvest which is ripe. Someone to go and train, to multiply the crops, and to answer the call and pay the price." So God created the missionary. God said, "I need someone who is a radical servant of all, taking the lowliest job, washing the feet of the poor, caring for the sick, and cleaning their wounds. I need someone to visit the prisoner, care for the widow and the orphan, to sit in the dust with a child and tell them that they are loved." So God made a missionary. God said he needed someone who would believe that blind eyes could see and lame feet could walk, and that the dead could live again. Someone who would pray long hours and intercede through the night with wordless groans of petition, so that one soul might be saved. God said, "I need someone honest and brave, full of grace, mercy, and compassion, free from fear and passivity, walking in true identity. Someone burning with love and girded with truth. Someone who radiantly reflects God's glory." So God made a missionary. God said, "I need someone who would say yes before they were asked. Someone who would go to distant islands, barren deserts, inner cities, closed nations, next door neighbors, and prestigious universities to reach the unreached. Who would hike any mountain and endure any obstacle? Because how will they believe in him of whom they have never heard? How will they hear unless someone preaches? And how will they preach unless they are sent?" So God made the missionary.
Yeah. So, I really like this video particularly because, you know, it talks about a lot of stuff, and you know, it talks about being a good neighbor. It talks about going to the inner cities or going to the universities or wherever it is, and that's, you know, really what we need, because if we sent everyone like us off somewhere, then there would be no one here to you know, to do what you guys do probably on a weekly, daily basis. And you know, I was thinking about Dennis and him going to the prison and you know, what that does, and just any of the other ministries that you guys do as a church. And it's such a part of this grand scheme of things that God calls the Great Commission, and you know, and being a good neighbor and being a good friend and being a good student to your teachers or employee to your boss or boss to your employees, you know, all of those things speak volumes, I think, in terms of the kingdom of God. So we're going to move on to the next word, which is transform. And when we talk about transform or transformation as YWAM Mazatlan, we're typically, you know, looking at our Homes of Hope ministry. Now, some in this room are probably somewhat familiar with it because some of you have participated. But the Homes of Hope ministry is basically a home building program. We're going out to these 8,000 families in Mazatlan who live in extreme poverty, you know, on a daily basis, and we're meeting a physical need that pretty much that would change their life, but the transformation comes after we build the home. So Homes of Hope is really just the beginning of the process for us in this whole thing of transformation. But it's kind of like the spearhead that gets us into the communities and gets us on a level that we can minister to the people of Mazatlan. And Homes of Hope, it's impacting. It's like one of the easiest things that we have to measure because it impacts people in a very different way. For example, you know, there's an economic impact. The fact that somebody can get a home debt-free kind of can leverage them out of poverty. There's a educational impact, and children who live in homes are 3 times more likely to go to school than children without a home. The health impact is, you know, astonishing, because to move from a dirt floor to a concrete floor, it reduces the rate, I guess, of diarrhea by like 43%. And there's social and emotional. Children without proper shelter suffer more from mental health problems. And then for us, recently, we've been kind of looking at the spiritual impact. And, you know, I'd probably say 7 out of 10 of the families who receive a home end up connecting with the local church in some way, whether that's regular attendance, a Bible study, or something like that. And so for us, you know, all those things are great, but we are really after, you know, their hearts, and God's really after their hearts, and that's what we want to see happen. We want to obviously see them come out of poverty. We want to see them healthy, you know, all of those things. But if God isn't able to capture their hearts, then, you know, we got to adjust what we're doing. But, you know, we have been seeing that, and it's been awesome. There's a lot of things related to Homes of Hope that are reaching out to those communities. But there's an aspect of Homes of Hope that really that we don't always think about, I guess, and that's the impact that is made on the people who go to build the homes. I'm looking at Austin back here, and you know, Monica and Dennis brought him down, you know, I don't know how many, 6 years ago or something like that. Maybe not that long ago. But it was a long time ago. And like, you know, every time we come back, you know, we're always asking about Austin. How's Austin doing? Because we know, you know, that might not have completely changed his life, but that played a part in sparking something in his heart. And, you know, I think everyone that goes on some kind of mission trip would come back saying something similar. But to be able to build a house for a family in 3 days and come back and say, you know, we did this. Now this, we can say this family's doing well. You know, all of those things are incredible. And there's story after story, but I'm just going to let you guys watch a recent home build that a church from Hawaii came in and did. And some of the people involved had never been on a mission trip, never been out of the country. And I'll just let you watch the video.
So I'm Kyle Knight, and we're down here in Mazatlan. And we as Hope Chapel, our heart is to send out mission teams to around the world, especially to our missionaries that are working full-time in the various countries. And this is the first trip down to Mazatlan where we're building a house and we're doing other outreaches with the local church here and the local missionaries. And our heart is really to send more teams down each year to be able to support the work that's being done down here year-round.
Hey, I'm Alana, and I'm from Maui, from Hope Chapel, Maui. This is my very first mission trip coming to Mazatlan, actually my first time out of the country of the United States. And as soon as my pastor, Ben, told me about the mission trip, it was something that I've been really praying about and something that I've been searching for. And I knew immediately that it was something that I wanted to do. I was talking to Ben last night, and I feel like so many of our church should come and experience it, because you can say, yeah, I know what's going on, and yes, I know that I won the lottery by living here in the United States or whatever privileged country you're coming from. But until you come here and you see the basic necessities that these people are hunting and striving and praying for every day, you won't understand.
Well, it's good we're doing this kind of stuff because, like, I mean, not to pay, we're doing this to glorify God, you know, and the stuff He gave us. So we're not like for only show, oh, we come mission trip, we're gonna help the natives. And no, you can do the same thing where you at, we're at home too. And I don't like just only talking stuff, but I like, hopefully the words I say, I do the same.
My life coming here has been really good for me in my 50s to see that God still uses me. And I'm still a big part of the body of Christ. That's really sweet.
It's going to impact me in a really big way, and I get emotionally even talking about it because I know it's special to be here, and I really want to share with our fellow church and anybody that will really pay attention and listen and want to make a difference in any small way. I want to share with them that this is what we're meant to do. We're meant to bless people that don't have what we have, and to give. Every little bit counts, and if you think, oh yeah, later, or when my kids are grown, or when I have the money, or when I have the time off work, the time is now to come and make a difference and share your story with other people.
You know, to do this project, our 16 teammates, our team is just really a representative of all of Hope Chapel and their prayers and their support. Everyone that gave the $7,400 that was raised to construct the home and to furnish it, all the prayers, it's been so great. No one's been injured. No one's gotten sick. We just really feel the Lord's provision and blessing and protection on this trip. And so, you know, we're just so thankful for Hope Chapel Kihei and their support of Dorian Akaika. And we're just trusting that this is just the beginning of many, many homes that Hope Chapel Kihei will be able to build here.
Did everyone catch what the second interview said?
If you didn't know, that's pigeon.
Yeah.
That's how they speak in Hawaii. I had to get used to that.
Yeah. Sorry. We should subtitle the video so you guys can understand it. You know, we really love Homes of Hope. It's one of the practical ways that while we're on the mission field, we all, Dory and I and our two boys, can kind of do the same thing at the same time. And it was quick, but our boys were, you know, they're in there painting, they're chasing kids and trying to drill screws into walls. And it's a great time. And it's something that all ages can do. You can bring your kids. We had on this team, there was an 82-year-old lady that came with us, and she was like gung ho, you know, eating tacos, and she went to town. But you know, just thinking today about like Father's Day, and you know, there's other holidays that really can make for a meaningful experience, I think, for us to go down, and you know, whether that's you know, father son trip going down, or I know Toby's talking about taking another group down at some point, maybe next year. Whatever it is, I just encourage you guys to think about it, see how, you know, God would have you get involved with Homes of Hope. The last thing that we're going to share about today is, or the last word, is mobilize. And it's a word that we use a lot in YWAM because we're constantly mobilizing people to do something. That's what we do in YWAM. So we train kids and then we mobilize them and send them off to foreign countries like the Philippines, Cambodia, the Congo, Morocco. You know, there's like probably 100 countries that we've sent people to over the last years. But we've also, in terms of mobilization, we've started new YWAM bases or sent teams to start new YWAM bases, like in Mexico City, which is one of the largest cities in the world. Or more obscure locations like this place called Durango in Mexico, where John Wayne used to film all his movies. Next year, we're sending another group out to a place called Morelia, which is kind of, it's down south in Mexico, and you know, a completely different place. We've also sent teams to Morocco, and that's kind of a part of what we want to do, is just continue to, you know, as we grow, just keep sending more people out. But we personally have some exciting news that we want to share with you about a new way that we're looking to mobilize people from YWAM Mazatlan. But before we get started, I'm going to show another video, and then it's the last one. It's what we're looking at doing is starting a ship-equipped ministry called YWAM Ships Mazatlan. And this video will just help you kind of get an understanding of what we'll be doing. This is from another YWAM base in Hawaii. So this isn't our video, but this will give you an idea of what we're talking about as we start to share.
YWAM Ships exists to reach the isolated with God's love. Our ships are deployed for 9 months out of the year in extremely remote locations. YWAM Ships hosts outreach teams. These include dentists, medical and optical professionals, working alongside community health volunteers and clean water technology trainers, all of which work as volunteers to bring the hope of Jesus to the Pacific. Shortly after announcing a 10-year commitment to work in Micronesia, we received an invitation from the President of the Marshall Islands. His senior cabinet members, the U.S. ambassador, and local chiefs were all eager to see YWAM ships come to these isolated islands and help their people. This is why our mission uses ships. Vessels can be deployed for long periods of time in the most remote places. We reach islands without airports, roads, or regular help from the outside world. YWAM ships wants to push to reach them all. Imagine living in a place that only sees 3 or 4 supply ships a year, has no hospitals, no phones, no power, no running water. Basics in life that we all take for granted. We pre-position our vessels ahead of time at the islands with an airstrip so that our YWAM outreach teams can fly in, climb aboard, and set sail. While under the careful supervision of the captain and crew, the teams can then venture off to the isolated islands, bringing the love of Jesus to families that are rarely visited. We'd love to host teams and individuals. Whether you are a church group, student, or a working professional, we can use all of your unique skills. However, you don't need to have a navigation or medical skill to make a difference. If you are wanting to serve with us, to share Jesus, then join our team. Help us to distribute Bibles, glasses, and other basic needs. Help us to teach basic sanitation, whether it's cleaning teeth properly by using clean water, or helping impart basic knowledge of germs and the use of soap. We invite you to join us, come aboard the ship, or perhaps join the team at Port YOM in Kona, Hawaii, that is working hard to coordinate supplies, provisions, crew, teams, and training students in the craft of seamanship. If you have a really adventurous heart, join our team that travel to the islands ahead of the vessels to coordinate our future outreach locations. Reach the isolated, serve their needs, make friends and stories all at once. Sail, study, serve. YWAM Ships.
So, you know, hopefully you get an understanding of what YWAM Ships is about. But basically, Dory and I have been kind of kicking this idea around with God for about 5 or 6 years. But, you know, we've just been praying about it, not really sure the timing of it, when, how, you know, how would we not do what we're currently doing so that we could do something like this. But then we went to the Philippines with an outreach team, and we realized that there's 7,000 islands in the Philippines, and most of those islands you can't get to unless you have some kind of a boat. So the Filipinos rely on huge ferries that you can drive trucks on, and small canoes, which, you know, we traveled on all of those things. But it became very apparent that, you know, there are all kinds of islands that you can't get to unless you have some kind of a boat, because you can't, they're too small to land a plane on. There's too many of them to connect roads to or bridges to, and so, like, you know, like they said in that video, ships really is the only way. So in the Pacific, you know, there's 700 islands, or in the South Pacific, 700 islands that don't have airships or completely isolated and cut off. Those are the types of places that we're looking at going to with YWAM Ships. Probably to start off, we're actually going to include Mexico into that. So we're looking for some isolated communities and islands in the Pacific coastal Mexico. And then from there, we're going to head off. But the idea is to basically gather a fleet of vessels of all shapes and sizes to be able to go to these places, take medical aid, distribute Bibles, build homes, do community development, and of course take the gospel. And because, you know, like I said earlier, unless we can do all of these things, and it's great and we're helping tons of people, but what we're really after is people's hearts, and we want to share the gospel no matter what we're doing and when we're doing it and where we're doing it. So we're officially going to launch, like we're literally just in the beginning stages of this ministry. We're going to officially launch next year. Later this year, Dory and I are going to be in Hawaii doing some training with YWAM Ships, Kona, that you saw on that video. I just wanted to tell you quickly, the ship that we're starting off with is called the Amazing Grace. And that ship is owned by a family in Bethel Island, California. And 14 years ago, God spoke to this family and said, sell your house, buy a boat. And through a whole bunch of crazy circumstances, they were able to do that. And they've lived on the boat for 14 years, just kind of waiting for God to tell them what's next, what do we do? And I'm thinking, this guy's the most patient person in the entire world, because he sold his house. He raised his kids on a boat in front of a place where he could have had a house. I'm just, yeah. But so in early 2014, their daughter, who was actually in this video, went and joined YWAM and showed up to this place called YWAM Ships Kona. And her parents were like, oh, what's YWAM Ships? And all of a sudden, they made this connection, and they were like, well, maybe this is what God's been waiting for us to do. You know, fast forward 2 months, fast forward a month, and we're presenting this vision to our leaders, and then you go one more month of August of last year, and some international leaders of YWAM Ships connected us with the EBO family who owned the Amazing Grace, and, you know, we've physically seen them two times. Once was a first meeting that we had in Tijuana, and once was them coming down to visit. Oh, that's true. There's three times. I went up and saw the ship, and then they came down and saw Mazatlan, and everyone's pretty much like, yep, let's do this. And so they're going to be doing the training with us in Hawaii, and then we'll be sailing the ship down in 2016, and then we'll start ministering with the ship probably mid-2016 or something like that. We got to do a lot of repairs probably and just getting it ready and outfitting the inside of the vessel. But, yeah, we'll be kicking that off in 2016, starting with the Gulf of California or the Sea of Cortez up inside the interior of the Baja. And then hopefully from there we'll go south to more isolated islands and potentially across the Pacific. So, I mean, that's what God's got for us personally, that we'd love for you guys to be able to continue praying for us for. We're still, you know, this is still connected 100% to why we're in Mazatlan, so it's not a different thing. It's just another ministry that the base is kind of embracing.
Yeah, so like Kaika said, for us as a family, we're kind of pioneering and heading this up, so it's really exciting. There's obviously a lot of things that we don't know in regards to ships and vessels, but we're so excited because I think Kaika mentioned we've been praying about it for the last 5 or 6 years, and so to kind of see something that you've been really like passionate about but not sure about for so many years and being able to like step into it, so it's definitely a really exciting time for us. So I think in kind of wrapping up our time, I think we would just really like to covet your prayers and ask for your prayers as we, you know, step into this, and encourage you guys to pray about coming down with the team. I know Toby's going to kind of be sharing about that once he's back. And you know, it's really such an honor and a privilege to do what we do and to be supported by people like you guys. I think Chris said you guys have been supporting us for the last 11 years, not just 10, 11, from the very beginning. And some of you have stood with me before I even met at Kaika, and it is such a privilege, and it's so humbling because we couldn't do it without people like you. We couldn't do it without the teams that come down and build homes. It's such a partnership. It wouldn't work because we don't have the staff and we don't have the resources. So when you guys raise the funds and you come down, that's how we are able to bless the people with the house and see transformation in their lives. So I just want to thank you guys for that and ask if you would be open to continue to pray about possibly getting involved with a team that comes down or sending a friend you know to come to a discipleship training school or standing with us in financial support because that's how we make this whole thing work. So we just want to thank you guys and bless you guys. And, thank you again for having us. So, yeah.